Hello and welcome to the Barefoot Coaching Make a Change to Make a Difference podcast. I'm Adam, and in this series, I'll be speaking to inspirational people who have made a change in their lives in order to make a difference for themselves, for others, and for the world at large. Expect real stories, insights, and wisdom from coaches and non-coaches alike. This is the Make a Change to Make a Difference podcast. My guest today is barefoot trained coach, musician, singing leader and author James Sills. James is on a mission to get people singing and over the last decade has brought together thousands of people to sing at events and gatherings all around the world, from choirs to conferences, from workshops to workplaces and from festivals to football stadiums. James believes that singing is a fundamental part of being human, fostering deep social connections and well-being. A very warm welcome, James Sills.
Adam, it's so nice to be here in the mothership.
Welcome.
The Barefoot Mothership.
Very lovely to finally meet in person.
I know.
I mean, when we recently had Barefoot on the Sofa, which you hosted for us, we had a really fabulous session with Barefoot alumni. I enjoyed it so much. I just wanted to keep the conversation going, so I couldn't not have you on the Barefoot podcast. But yeah, it's lovely to have you at Barefoot HQ.
It's a real pleasure. I mean, having just finished the flagship programme, but also as a real fan of the Barefoot podcast, I kind of feel like I've broken some kind of fourth wall by being here. But it feels great. It's lovely. And just to be, you know, next to this huge, you know, wall of incredible books of knowledge surrounded by the bright colours of Barefoot. It feels like coming home. Doing the flagship course felt like coming home, and it's felt like that arriving here today.
I'm so pleased. It does something to you, this place. I see the impact on clients when they walk in the door. You sort of see their shoulders drop. Because you're right, it's when you're here, you're just surrounded by coaching, by this fabulous thing that we do that makes such a difference to the lives of other people. It's special.
Yeah, environment is everything. I think about that so much when I'm designing my singing workshops, you know, physical space and online space and the way you hold it and the way you navigate that. It's just so important. It has such an impact.
Yeah. It does. And the fact that you said, yeah, it feels like coming home. One of the things I'll talk to you about later is this sort of sense of belonging that comes with the work that you do and that people sort of feel like they're part of something, which is really lovely. So we'll definitely talk about that.
Yes.
But I wondered if you could start by just telling our listeners a bit about what you do for a living.
Yeah. So I'm a freelancer. I suppose I'm a musician, but what I do is bring people together to sing. And one of my kind of perhaps slightly kind of cheesy, you know, kind of taglines is, it's not about the singing, it's about the people who sing. So what I'm really interested in is how the group singing experience can be a vehicle for transformation for people. I've come to this through a very kind of squiggly route, you know, through work as a community musician, as a performer, as a teacher. And, you know, we can certainly go back to all of that. But where I am today, Adam, I run a couple of in-person choirs. I used to run a lot more, but my work these days is focused around the Sofa Singers, which is my online singing community that reaches all across the world. There's something about the singing experience that is just so deeply connecting that it connects and bonds you with other people like no other. Over the last 10 years, I've worked, you know, with homeless choirs, I've worked with CEOs, I've worked with community choirs, I've got an all-men singing group, which kind of has an undercurrent of, you know, kind of male mental health and creating an alternative male space. Whoever you are, you know, and whatever your background, whatever your story, I really think that singing has something to offer, that it can enhance your life. And, you know, and there have been people that I've worked with, particularly vulnerable or marginalized groups, who have said, look, singing saved my life. You know, this experience, feeling like I belong to something, you know, something that gives me confidence, that gives me, you know, I can feel proud of myself. And it's just incredible. And so that's what I'm leaning into. You know, it sounds quite niche. I suppose in some ways it is, but there are just so many different facets to what I do. You know, so I love being a freelancer. I love, you know, having the online, the in-person, the regular groups, the kind of the one-offs. I kind of embrace all of it. And the through line that goes through all of it is singing and using singing for kind of transformational change.
Yeah. I love it. You're right, because taking a look at your website and the reviews from your book, I really get a sense that people have found themselves through this experience. And you talked beautifully just now about some of the why, but I'm interested in why do you think singing and the work you do, let's take Sofa Singers, has such an impact on people.
I mean, singing just works on so many different levels. I mean, fundamentally, it's one of the oldest things that we've done as a species. I mean, people think that we actually sung before we spoke, so that singing developed before language did, as a bonding mechanism. So I read a lot of the work of Robin Dunbar, who's a Oxford University evolutionary biologist, and he kind of believes that singing evolved at a time when the human species started living in bigger groups. And when, you know, and this is, I think this is probably pre Homo sapien. It was when we, you know, we still kind of groom each other, you know, as animals do. And, you know, and when we do that, when we feel that physical closeness, we have that bonding hormone, the oxytocin, and that helps us feel connected. You know, we talk about oxytocin when we talk about the mother-child bond, for example. You know, there's a very fundamental thing about singing with other people. Like I say, we have that history. If we think of the history of humankind, you know, whether it's singing together in times of adversity, or if we think of the pre-industrial era when people were singing sea shanties or singing in the fields, you know, singing through church. The singing is basically a mechanism to reinforce the group. My mission isn't about forming people into neat choirs and you know, and that being a thing. It's about connecting something that's a bit more fundamental than that.
Yeah. I'm curious about when your relationship with singing began. Where did it all start?
My earliest singing experience was on the football terraces with my dad. And I wrote about this in my book. I just can't forget that feeling of standing with shoulder to shoulder with my dad, with 20,000 people, and just that sound, but also that feeling, you know, of everybody being on the same team, you know, and that stayed with me, you know, in this so-called age of loneliness, just that sense of feeling connected, sense of being part of something, that sense of belonging is everything. You know, it really is everything. And what's been fascinating has been, because almost all the research around singing is around singing in person. And what's been fascinating to discover is that actually, you know, what I'm doing with Sofa Singers, you know, I set it up at the very beginning of the pandemic, March 2020, as a way for people to come together online, to sing, to emote, to connect with each other, that I get the same feedback. You know, it helps people bring them into the moment. It helps to forget about things that are going on. It helps, you know, increase their vitality and joy. That's the thing that fuels me in all of my work is just the feedback, because it's just amazing. It's transformational, you know, and that's a word that we use a lot in coaching. And I think that's why probably one of the reasons that led me to coaching. But singing with other people is a transformative experience.
I mean, it makes total sense hearing you talk about it, but it's never occurred to me before, you know, just how in our being sound making and singing is.
Exactly.
But also, as you were talking about singing in to celebrate the best of times and at the worst of times, I was reminded of all that World War II footage of people in the shelters singing together just to feel the sound of the bombs dropping and feeling like they were together as a united front.
And likewise, you know, 18 months ago, we saw similar things in the subways in Kyiv. And
yes.
It's something we turn to, but it's something I'd say the majority of people turn to kind of when they need to or when they're forced to, you know, at the big moments in life, you know, times of incredible strain and crisis like you're describing, or great great celebrations, birthdays. But actually, my thing is like, well, how can we bring singing into the everyday? Because why should we just save it for certain times in our life? Why not harness the good stuff the whole time? Because it is so, you know, beneficial for our mental health, for our physical health. You know, that was what I was trying to bring across in my book, you know, and just to kind of summarize, just there's so much research out there about it. But a big part of my work is, well, how can we make this accessible? How can we make it palatable? Because, you know, maybe apart from public speaking, singing in public is most people's number one dread, isn't it? You know, and so when you know, you meet people and I explain what I do, you see the whites of their eyes and you say, oh, well, I can't sing, you know, don't make me sing. And that's why it's really interesting doing the work I'm doing with companies, because often I'm the surprise, you know.
Right.
I always ask to be not introduced as a, you know, this is James, he's going to get singing. I ask to be introduced as a facilitator, and I might do a bit of breath work and a bit of stretching and move into vocalizing, because as soon as people think they're going to be made to sing, you know, this is where self-limiting beliefs kick in. And, you know, we've lost that communal sense of singing. You know, it's become kind of professionalized. It's something that people who, inverted commas, can sing should do, and everyone else should be a listener or quite passive in the experience. And so a big part of my work is spreading the word, but also, you know, dismantling some of those barriers. You know, so I've run sessions, you know, in pubs, in homeless shelters, in workplaces, you know, taking singing to where people already are.
Yeah. I like that you mentioned the limiting beliefs piece, mm-hmm. because you're right. And I get the whole whites of the eyes thing. That's a lovely lead in then to ask you about how did your world of singing and coaching come together? Yeah. Sort of what brought you to barefoot coaching?
I mean, I think that there's a sense that as I, you know, look back on my, you know, almost 20 years career of working in music, the through line, as I've already said, has been working with people and using music and more recently singing for change or for good or for whatever, you know, around the human piece. Music making is good for us. Singing is really good for us. And that's what I've always been interested in. If we kind of go backwards about 12 months, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was like a 7-year itch. I don't know if you get that with work. But, you know, I'd been fully freelance for about 7 years. So for singers was going really steady. I was, you know, people were still coming to my choirs, but I kind of felt, you know, just a little, there was just kind of something nagging at me that was like, is this it? Is this what you're going to be doing for the next, you know, 20, 30 years? If so, like, yeah, that's fine. But is there more that I can offer? And I kind of flirted with, you know, looking at, you know, is there ways I can deepen my practice as a singer? You know, so I looked at vocal health courses and I did some short courses and nothing really landed. You know, I wasn't, you know, there were great courses, but it didn't really excite me. I was like, this isn't actually where I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is the human element. I'm interested in the transformational piece. And I don't know if I got the answers to that just by going deeper and deeper into the music. Mm. And so there's, you know, quite a long period last year of kind of reflection, feeling a little bit stuck, but also recognition that there was something personally and professionally that I felt could really nurture me, but I just didn't know what it was. And around that time, I actually had some coaching myself, which was really powerful. Did some great work looking at my kind of my values because I felt at a crossroads with a few things. At the same time, this was independent of the coaching, I actually had some supervision. It was a supervision group for people who were working with singing in kind of mental health settings. It helped me think about, actually, do you know what? I'm really interested in these things that I'm benefiting from, you know, from the coaching, from the supervision, zooming out, I suppose, but also that sense of being given space to really think and to reflect, and that someone else isn't always going to have the answers. And so, yeah, there was this, you know, I wouldn't say it was a long night of the soul, but there was, you know, there was certainly a period last year where I was doing lots of looking around and reading around. And somehow it started off on the peripheries and then it came much more into the center of my kind of consciousness was this idea of coaching, in particular Barefoot. I think Barefoot was probably the first organization, the first training organization I came across. And I thought, oh, now this is interesting. Like, this really feels like me. And then what emerged was like, do you know what? This, in some ways, it feels like a real left field move from what I'm doing now. But at the same time, this feels completely right for me. And I kind of just had to go with my intuition, and having just finished the flagship course, one of the greatest learnings is about, you know, listening to your intuition and trusting it. And that was what led me to start the Barefoot course early this year.
Mm. Two things occurred to me listening to you. The first is the parallel process between the transformational nature of singing and what we hear consistently from delegates about their experience on our coach training program being one that is transformational. And the second thing was, I'm reminded that on the front, is it the front cover of your book, you talk about finding your tribe?
Yeah. So the subtitle, anyway, so the title of the book is Do Sing. And then the subtitle is Reclaim Your Voice and Find Your Singing Tribe. Now, I mean, you know, if that isn't screaming coaching, I don't know what is. You know.
The thing that interests me is what we hear from people is that when they arrive at Barefoot, they find their tribe, you know?
Yeah.
And people refer to themselves as barefooters, you know, part of this fabulous Barefoot tribe. So they're the two things that sort of popped up for me as you were talking. But I'm interested in sort of the journey you went on of personal discovery, of learning this new/not-so-new thing for you, and how you've come out at the other end, because it's fresh, right? You've only recently finished.
I'm sad it's over. I mean, that's probably a reflection on the course. I mean, it undoubtedly has been transformational. I think the first word that pops into my head is expansive. I just felt it was expansive in so many ways. You know, the learnings, the way it felt like my world has just expanded so much. The people in it on my course, my amazing course mates, shout out to OL69. you know, the personal growth, the professional opportunities. I went from a place last year feeling a little bit stuck and am I just James, the singing guy? And suddenly there's all these doors, you know, some that I didn't know were there before. There's doors that I don't think I know are there yet. yeah, so I'm kind of in a period of, it's kind of like reflection really. It's still very fresh, but my mind is like, there are so many ways I could take this on, you know, and I've often been one for kind of jumping in with 2 feet into something. And I've kind of allowed myself with the coaching from the very beginning of the course, actually, to not be like that and just be kind of open to the next step. You know, I don't know if I, you know, how much I believe in fate, but just knowing that things usually happen at the right time. One of the many valuable things in the course was actually getting the coaching myself, you know, because that has helped me make a lot of what feels like very big decisions about my work and my life in general. You know, I loved many aspects of teaching, but to be taught and just the way that the course is structured, I just think is just so wonderful. If you say one size fits all, that kind of sounds like everyone has to fall in line. But
yeah.
I guess what I mean by that with relation to the Barefoot course is that, you know, there is so much extra reading. There's so many extra notes in the manual. If you want to go there, you know, there are so many different paths that you can go down if yeah. you want to. Or you can engage in the sessions and you can do the practice sessions. So it just feels like there's something for everyone and you can mold the course in the way that you want to mold it. And this is what everybody told me before I did the course. And having now completed it, I can really see what they mean.
Yeah, I'm really pleased that you have that experience because we pride ourselves on teaching an eclectic approach. We will draw on so many disciplines from training, leadership development, coaching, therapy, therapeutic practices, NLP, TA, all those things. And you get an opportunity as a delegate to have a play with all of them and figure out which ones you like a bit more, which ones you like a bit less, and then find your own magic coaching recipe, which is lovely. And having had the experience that you've had on the program, I'm wondering what advice you would give to people listening who are perhaps thinking about training as a coach.
I really do think that everyone can benefit from it. I think during the course, you get coached, you get incredible coaching, both from the tutors and then from your fellow delegates. I had maybe a perception about coaching that it was just for people in HR or business or CEOs wanting to think about their next steps and whatever. But the thing about the Barefoot course is that it just welcomes everybody in and it says, come on in, like, what have you got to bring to the table? Let's celebrate who you are. You don't have to, it's not like a sausage factory for coaches. You know, you don't all have to come out the same, which is wonderful. So you bring all that richness of your experience with you. And for me, that was a really key part of choosing Barefoot and a real key part of why the course was so enriching for me because, you know, the people on my course with me, fellow delegates, were people I probably wouldn't have met in the course of everyday life. You know, they weren't my immediate professional sphere, I suppose. But there was such a level of connection and a meeting of minds because we'd chosen to do this course. But there was just so many different perspectives and things that on the course I found incredibly felt came really easily. So maybe some of the more, I don't know, esoteric elements, if you want to call it that, or, you know, some of the really kind of creative visualization exercises, things like that, that I was just like, oh, this is fantastic. You know, that other people were really out of their comfort zone with. But then on the flip side, there were certain approaches or aspects of the course where I thought, oh, God, I really know nothing about this because this is really tough, you know. And so I don't think, you know, I think everyone can learn from the course. I think everyone can grow. You learn from each other. And because there's such a diversity of approaches and the models and theories, there's no way you could come to the course, you know, think that you know all of it. I mean, yeah. So I think it just gives an opportunity for everyone to grow in whatever way is right for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's take a very quick break and we'll be back in 2. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Adam.
You know, I was thinking, there really is no single route to arriving at the Barefoot Coach Training Programme, is there?
No, there isn't. People come from all walks of life, from the armed forces to aromatherapy, HR to hairdressing, and teaching to taxi driving. But regardless of where they arrive from, they all share the same desire, and that is to make a change, to make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So whether people listening want to coach friends and family, coach at work, or in a new career as an accredited coach, when it comes to coach training, no two journeys are the same. You can find out whether Barefoot Line could take you by visiting barefootcoaching.co.uk. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
How are you finding it so far?
Oh, I'm loving it, Adam. I just hope I'm not, you know, talking too much.
Oh, it's fabulous.
You're giving me time to think. Good old Nancy Klein.
There you go. It's all about the space you hold.
It certainly is, yeah. You're holding it beautifully, Adam.
Bless you. Well, let's get back into it. So I get a sense from you that a lot has changed, actually, since you started the course. And I'm wondering, bearing in mind that it's early days, where you sort of see yourself going in the next, I don't know, 6 months, 12 months? Like, are there things that you've got your eye on that you think I'd like to give that a go? Or perhaps I'd like to use coaching in this way? What's in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think anyone who does the flagship program, you can't help but bring it into your everyday life, you know? I was thinking about this morning, you know, just conversations with my six-year-old, you know, I'm not trying to coach her, obviously, but just, you know, giving her a little bit more time. Or as parents, you often want to jump in or, you know, kind of close off a situation or rush things along. But, you know, just sometimes just to sit with it and be like, oh, okay, that's interesting. You know, tell me a bit more about that or whatever. So just, you know, from the first session, just changing your relationship almost with language and the way that you interact with other people. I mean, it's super powerful. And it's not like you go around coaching everybody, but it does make you think about the way that you relate to other people. I mean, in terms of, you know, my kind of professional work, I'm already feeling the impact of it in the way that I'm designing my programs, in the way that I'm running my singing sessions. It doesn't have to be a big change, but it can often make a massive difference. And yeah, I think a lot about voice, and I think that will be a big part of what I do going forward. So obviously singing is all about voice. You know, that was the subtitle of the book, you know, Reclaim Your Voice. And often people within singing say, oh, find your voice. And, you know, we all found it when we were younger. It's just that it got silenced or it got pushed down or whatever. And that's such a big part of coaching, is actually connecting with that part of you that's you, you know, connecting with that voice, celebrating it, amplifying it. And so I think that will be definitely part of my work, you know, going forward. I'm really interested in group coaching. I think what I've come to realize is that I really love holding space for people. And I've been doing that in some way for the last 20 years. You know, the first work that I did in music was when I was a music student running, I was asked to conduct a community wind band, you know, which is fabulous, you know, and that's all about, you know, holding space, making people feel comfortable, you know, creating psychological safety for people. And I think I'm really interested to see how that would play out in group coaching. And you know, as I've said in the conversation, just through doing the coaching course and being, you know, in a way, doing the flagship program, you're receiving group coaching, yes. You know, and so I'd be really, you know, and I know I can feel the benefit of that. So I'd be then interested in you know, how that might manifest itself in my work going forward. I've also been approached by an amazing charity in my local area in North Wales who work with people between the ages of 16 and 19 who've kind of fallen through, you know, various nets. And what they do, as a matter of course, is give people their own coach. And I really think that everybody can benefit from coaching. And I know that's something that Kim Morgan is really passionate about, is about opening that access. So that's definitely something I'm interested in. And, you know, it may well be that in not necessarily 6 months' time, but, you know, in the future, that it may well be that I facilitate singing X days a week and that I might have one or two days a week where I have one-to-one clients. And, you know, I don't know, but you know, I'm at the start of my barefoot journey. I've finished the flagship course, but this is actually where the work, you know, really starts, you know. So I suppose my aspirations are certainly to get ICF accredited. I'm going to do the PG Cert with the University of Chester.
Fantastic.
I just want to give myself as many options as possible, really. And I know that there will be a kind of a barefoot shaped hole when, you know, we don't go back to the course. You know, the structure of the course is that we have a month on, month off, you know, so this is technically the month off.
Right.
So in September, I will want to just continue that experience.
Yeah.
And I think at the minute, I'm not looking much beyond that, really, because already things are happening and doors are opening. I'm being asked to do things that I couldn't have foreseen. And I haven't really done very much other than just kind of go with what feels right. And so I'll just keep following my curiosity and also just thinking, well, where can I make the most impact as well? You know, what I mentioned, I had some coaching last year, and one of the values that I came to realize was impact. And actually, through something like SofaSing, as it reaches hundreds of people each week, you know, I can make greater impact than if I'm in the room with a smaller number of people. Mm. Likewise, you know, if I might be looking to develop group coaching programs, you know, you can reach more people in that than you can on a one-to-one. And I'm also interested in that ripple effect as well, you know. So I might be working with 100 or 200 people in a workshop, but what's the impact of that experience on those people's lives? You know, the logical endpoint for people coming to my workshops isn't necessarily to go and join a choir, like some people do, and that's great. But actually, the work that I do with my singing work, it's about helping people reconnect with themselves. It's about confidence. It's about fostering joy. And all of those things, you know, can have transformational, there's that word again, kind of transformational impacts on people's lives.
We were talking in the break about the fact that you've got a young family. So when you're not doing the work that you're doing, how do you like to spend your time?
For me, there isn't work-life balance, it's just life. It's all part of the same thing. And, you know, as much as I love my work and I love coaching, I also love, you know, we live up in the hills, you know, we're getting some chickens next week. you know, I love swimming, I love time out, I need time out. And all those things are important, you know. So everything that I'm talking about is within the context of, you know, me as a dad and me looking after myself. Because, you know, if you don't look after yourself, how can you hold space and look after for other people and look after them?
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to close us out. Thank you, James. It's been such a fabulous conversation. And as a way of closing us out, I'm wondering what it is you'd like to leave our listeners with.
Thanks, Adam. Yeah, I'm going to leave you with one of my favourite quotes, and it's from Theodore Roosevelt. And I just love this. It works on so many levels. It's so gentle. It just invites you to make the right next step without any kind of pressure. So the quote is, do what you can with what you've got where you are.
James Sills, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Adam. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, then be sure to subscribe to get alerts each time we release a new episode. Just search Barefoot Coaching Podcast wherever you get yours. Oh, and if you aren't already following us on social media, then do just search for Barefoot Coaching.